I'd like to read a passage in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 23, which is on what, page 1262. Luke chapter 23 and verse 32, speaking of the Lord in his final few moments before he was crucified. Verse 32, and it starts, "Now two others also, malefactors, were led with him to be put to death. And when they came to the place which is called Skull, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left." And then if we can skip down to verse 39 of the same chapter. "Now one of the malefactors who had been hanged spoke insultingly to him, saying, 'Art not thou the Christ? Save thyself and us.' But the other answering rebuked him, saying, 'Dost thou too not fear God, that thou art under the same judgment? And we indeed justly, for we receive the just recompense of what we've done. But this man has done nothing amiss.' And he said to Jesus, 'Remember me, Lord, when thou comest in thy kingdom.' And Jesus said to him, 'Verily I say to thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise.'" I suppose perhaps the idea, sitting in a nice warm room with a nice warm house to go back to, the idea that you need to be saved might seem a little low down on your priority list. But for this man here, this malefactor that I read about, it was quite high up on his priority list. He recognised that he had only a few hours, perhaps, left here on this earth. You might say that he was on the edge of an eternity. He was his last few moments here on earth, the last few moments that he had in time. And he recognised his need. He recognised that he needed to be saved. As he hung there on that cross, he recognised that he needed a saviour. And dear friend, tonight, maybe you don't realise that you need to be saved. But dear friend, you're in the same position as this man is here. Perhaps you are on the edge of eternity. Because life, dear friend, is not something that is of any permanence at all. Life is a very temporal thing, a very fragile thing. And dear friend, tonight you have the same need that this man had. You have exactly the same need that this man hanging on this cross, this malefactor, this thief had. And that is that you need a saviour. Now, dear friends, this thief here recognised that his need could be met in the Lord Jesus Christ. He turned to the Lord Jesus Christ, perhaps almost as a last resort, but he turned to him. And he said to him, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And dear friend, the Lord Jesus turned to him and gave him that full assurance, that full guarantee that yes, that would happen. And dear friends, as I said, the thief recognised that he needed a saviour, and his need was met in the Lord Jesus Christ. And dear friend, your need can be met in this same person tonight. This same person, the Lord Jesus Christ, can meet your need where you are tonight. You know, I thought about speaking about the cross, dear friend, because it's something that perhaps it's easy to get complacent about. It's easy to speak about the cross and the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, and certainly speaking myself, you speak about it and you don't really understand or comprehend the horror and the fullness of what happened in that event. You know, it was an event that happened once in the consummation of the ages. It was a singular and unique event here, the Lord Jesus Christ dying on that cross. You often hear about people saying, you know, there's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, or I remember when the millennium happened, you know, it was something to remember because it was only going to happen once in our lifetime, or people, when there's a comet going around in the sky, you say, you've got to go look at it because it won't come round for another 170 years. But this event here, this unique event, the crucifixion, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, as I said, happened once in the consummation of the ages. Not once in a lifetime, not once in a generation, but once. It only needed to be done once, and it only happened once, and it will only happen once. So, dear friends, why did this event have to take place? Why have we got this recorded in the pages of Scripture? Why is the Lord Jesus here dying on a cross? Well, dear friends, to understand that, you need to understand that before this happened, that sin came into the world. And that every single person came under that judgment of sin. You know, you can go back, and you've heard many preachers stand behind this desk, go back to Genesis, at the beginning of their gospel preachings, because that's where the problem of sin entered in. It's what's called the fall. When Adam sinned, he was disobedient to God, and from that moment on, sin entered into the world. And you can see the effects of sin today. You don't have to read a newspaper very far. You don't have to get through many pages of the newspaper before you see the effects of sin. And it's becoming more and more apparent in the world. The world's not getting any more sinful, as it were, but it's becoming more and more apparent. Sin has been in the world since the time of Adam, but it's becoming more and more apparent as the days go on. And dear friends, we and you are no exception to that rule. You don't have to look very far back during this day, during this week, to remember things that you've done that you know were wrong. And dear friends, they're the symptoms of sin inside of you. They're the sins. We've got this terrible thing inside of us that means that we can't enter into God's presence. And that's the sin. And it manifests itself in the things that we do wrong, the sins. And dear friends, that is why we have this event here. Because, yes, we're sinners. That's why this event had to happen. But also because God loves us. That's why this event happened here. Because God wanted a relationship with his creature. You go back again to Genesis. It says that God wants to walk with Adam in the garden. That God wanted that relationship, that closeness with his creature. And man ruined it by sinning. But dear friend, God didn't want that relationship any less just because there was sin. And so he had to design a way whereby he could justly come back into a relationship with his creature. And dear friend, that's why the Lord Jesus Christ had to die. Because we can't enter into God's presence when we've got sin inside of us. If we could enter into God's presence when we have sin inside of us, it wouldn't be God's presence. It wouldn't work, because God cannot look on sin. God and sin are completely polar opposites. If you think of two ends of a magnet, the north and the north side, they repel each other. They can't connect at all. That is what it's like with sin and God. Completely abhorrent to each. God completely abhors sin. And so, dear friend, that is why God had to design this way whereby he could justly come into a relationship with man. And that is through the Lord Jesus Christ, because he sent his very own son here as a sacrifice to die on a cross. And he shed his precious blood so that we could enter into that relationship. Back in the Garden of Eden, an animal had to die so that Adam and Eve could be clothed. They tried to do it their own way. They tried to use fig leaves and it didn't work. And all through the pages of time, God has required a sacrifice so that the sin in the Old Testament, it was covered. We touched on it a little bit today in the reading about the high priest could enter in once a year to offer his sacrifice that would cover the sins of the people for another year. But dear friend, this sacrifice here of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross was different, and I said it was unique. And it's unique because it only happened once, and it only needed to happen once, because the Lord Jesus Christ was perfect in every single way. Everything that God required from man was found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that man should have been was found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was perfect in every way. So when he sacrificed himself on this cross, God could look on that sacrifice and be fully satisfied. Absolutely, without question. And so God could then move out in blessing towards man because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says later on that the curtain and the temple was rent. God could move out and we can go in. It's a tremendous thing to come into, dear friend, that the Lord Jesus Christ died as a sacrifice so that we can enter into a relationship and God can enter into a relationship with us. So, this event here is unique and it's singular in its character. And it's interesting when it says later on, the thief says, we receive the just recompense of what we've done, verse 41. You know, it's probably, I expect everybody in this room tonight would be willing to say that yes, they are a sinner. Yes, they've done a few things wrong in their life. But I think the sticking point, certainly with many men today, is that have they sinned enough? They hope that the good that they've done in their life will outweigh the bad. Here the thief said, we receive the just recompense of what we've done. He knew exactly what he'd done. He wasn't trying to make excuses. You know, dear friend, I think that's probably the sticking point that man has. That yes, they'll probably admit that they've done a few things wrong in their life. They might not want to call it sin. They've done a few things wrong. But they won't admit that they've done enough wrong to keep out of God's presence. But the Bible says that if you just sin once, it's enough to keep you outside of God's presence. If you think about, I was reading the other day, one of the Muslim logos is a set of scales. Like Christianity has a cross and a little fish, Muslims and Islam has a little set of scales as one of their little logos. And that corresponds to what they think about when they say that their good will outweigh their bad in their life. And it's a very dangerous path to go down. And it's not just exclusive to the Islam religion. Unfortunately, it's managed to creep its way into Christianity as well. Or professing Christianity. Where the people think that the good in their life will some way and somehow outweigh the bad that they've done. And when they get before God in His judgment, on His judgment seat, they'll be able to point to some of the good stuff that they've done and say, well, yes, I've done a few things wrong, but look at all this good stuff that I've done. Dear friend, that doesn't wash. It doesn't work with God. As I said, one sin will keep you out of God's presence. If by any means God could have come up with any other way, if good works could mean that you could spend an eternity with God, don't you think that He would have not had to send His Son? The very fact that the Lord Jesus had to die, the very fact that God had to send His Son, proves that there is no other way where you can enter into God's presence. There's a hymn somewhere in our book, and I won't be able to quote it right, but it says that if there was any other way, God wouldn't have had to send His Son. And yet, dear friend, He did, and it proves that that is the only way. You know, man will try and tell you that you go along your own way, you do your best in life, but it doesn't work. It doesn't work with God. That's not the way that God has set it out. And dear friend, the Lord Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. You know, not a way, not a truth, as the world will try and tell you. It doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you believe in something. That's not how it is with God. The Lord Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. And so, dear friend, this man here, he said, we receive the just recompense of what we've done. That's what we've got to come to, dear friend, that we don't have an excuse. We don't have anything to say to God. All we can do is come before Him in our sins and say, this is me. I can't do anything to get rid of my sins myself. I have nothing to offer you. That's what we've got to come to. Dear friend, there's no point going to God with your good works, with your so-called good works, because they're worthless. Paul says they're as filthy rags. They're not worth anything. So, dear friend, that's where we've got to come to, that we are a sinner. We've sinned so much, and yet God still loves us. And yet God still sent His Son here. And that is why the Lord Jesus is dying here. He's dying for our sins, but He's dying because God loves us, and God wants to come into a relationship with us. It's interesting as well, verse 33, when He says, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. You know, it's one of my favourite verses in the Bible, that today thou shalt be with me in paradise. You know, when you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and you have that personal transaction, you know, there's no waiting room, as it were. There's no purgatory. There's no thought that, you've got to wait a few years. It's immediate. I was reminded when I read this just before about Peter when he said, Lord, save me. And it says immediately. There's no thought of waiting with the Lord Jesus. If you put your faith and trust in Him, there's no time. It's just, you've done it. The transaction's complete straight away. Yes, there's a process where you're gaining your appreciation for the Lord Jesus as you go down the Christian pathway, and your affections should grow for Him. But the very transaction of knowing that you're secure in your salvation is an immediate thing. As soon as you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, that's it. It's done now, and it's done for eternity. And there's nothing that you can do that can ever come in the way of that. You know, this man here, as I said, he had perhaps a few hours left to wait before that was it. Time's up. And yet, dear friend, he knew if he put his faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, it would happen straight away. It had to happen straight away because his time is running out. And dear friend, perhaps your time is running out tonight. Because one day, dear friend, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back to claim all those that are His. There is an urgency to the gospel message as well. It's a message of God's love. It's a message about His tremendous love in sending a Saviour. But it's also an urgent message because there is a time limit. God has set a day where He's going to judge the habitable world. And God has also set a day where He's going to send the Lord Jesus back to claim those that are His. There is no time, dear friend, to think about and deliberate over these things. You know, if you read the passages about the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, there's lots of different groups of people that around the cross. I didn't read it, but there's one about about the soldiers, about when they were gambling with the Lord over the Lord Jesus' cloak. You know, they were playing games and gambling over the only piece of clothing that the Lord Jesus had, while behind them the greatest event in the history of time was happening. They had absolutely didn't care at all, indifferent. And there were so many people around the cross that were indifferent or against the Lord Jesus Christ when he was dying there. And there's very few people that actually perhaps had a small understanding of what's happening, and this thief perhaps was one of them here. But dear friend, you might fall into that category of being indifferent to the Lord Jesus Christ, being indifferent to his death. Perhaps you've heard the gospel week by week, and you've heard the terms, and you know the terms. But dear friend, it's about making it your very own. You know, it's an easy thing to come out with. You know, you can trot out all the gospel facts, as it were. And you know the terms of the gospel. You know what salvation means, and you know what justification means. But have you made it your very own? Have you made him your very own personal saviour? Yes, you've heard about him since you've been growing up. You've heard about the love of the Lord Jesus. You've heard about the love of God. But do you know that he loves you? Have you made him your very own personal saviour? Dear friend, that's the vital part of the message, is that you make him your own. There's nobody else that can ever save you or put you in a position where you can be saved. You've got to come to it yourself. There's no other person that can save you. You know, your parents or your brothers and sisters would love to do that, I'm sure. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that can do it. He's the only one qualified. He's the only one that was good enough for God. We fall far short. As I was speaking earlier about our good works, they can do nothing. But it's the Lord Jesus, his blood, his sacrifice alone that can save you. So, dear friends, we didn't read it, and I don't think it's in this passage, but the Lord Jesus Christ uttered three words. And if the cross is the most important part of Scripture, then it is finished, and I don't think it's in this gospel, probably the three most important words. The three most important words, it is finished. Everything that God had against sin was met in the Lord Jesus, in those 3 hours of darkness that came on the cross. When God poured out everything that he had against sin, sin was completely condemned. And the Lord Jesus Christ could cry at the end of it, it is finished. You know, that's it. There's nothing more to be done. We can't add anything on our side. You know, it's so easy for us to put a question mark where God's put a full stop. To think that maybe we can add something else into our salvation, but of our own self. But dear friend, it's all been done in the Lord Jesus. Everything's been finished, completed to God's satisfaction. That's what matters. Everything's been done to God's satisfaction. And so, dear friend, it's a tremendous thing to come to when you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and you realise that your sins are gone and they're gone forever. You know, we read about it today in the reading. You'll never remember our sins anymore. You know, what a thing to come to. If, you know, our sins have got to be gone. If God still remembered our sins, we couldn't feel at home in his presence. And yet they're gone. I was reminded at lunchtime, we were reading the Pilgrim's Progress, and when Christian comes to the cross, his burden falls off and it goes completely out of sight. Gone forever. There's nothing else to be done. Your sins are gone if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So, dear friends, this is the cross. This is, and I feel I'm very underqualified to talk about it in any way, but this is the cross. This is the death of the Lord Jesus. And, dear friends, later on, the next passage speaks about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, because the Lord Jesus Christ did die. He actually did die. The Son of God, he died. And he died because God loves us. And he died because he wanted to save you. Dear friend, but the resurrection is another tremendous event in history. Because the cross and the resurrection go together. If you didn't have the resurrection, the cross wouldn't mean anything. The resurrection proves that God is 100% satisfied with that sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. 100%. It proves that that everything that happened on the cross was done to the eternal satisfaction of his God and Father. And when the Lord Jesus Christ was raised, and he it means that we no longer have a dead person as the leader of our faith, but we have a living person. A person that is no longer in the grave. No longer has he died. You know, I don't like doing it, but if you want to compare Christianity to all the other man-made religions, Christianity is the only one that has a living head a living founder, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's no longer in the grave. He's risen and he's ascended and he's seated at the Father's right hand. And he's ready and he's waiting to receive all those that put their faith and trust in him. And dear friend, you can do it tonight. This man, as I said, he had a few hours left, perhaps, to live. He knew his time was short. Dear friend, your time might be short tonight. You need to make sure that you're right with God. You need to make sure that your sins have been completely removed by putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing on his death, believing on his resurrection, believing that the blood that he shed was shed for you. Dear friend, that's what it comes down to. You know, if you imagine sin as being this great big bank account, you've got a lot of red against it. You've got a lot of red against your name. Dear friend, someone's got to level that account. God can't just ignore sin. God can't just turn a blind eye to sin. Somebody's got to level that account. It can either be you spending an eternity in a godless eternity, or it can be the Lord Jesus Christ, as he did it here. It's been done. He can remove all that red from your account, and you can come into a wondrous blessing. You can come into all that God's prepared and wants to give his creature. You know, it's a tremendous thing when you become a Christian. When you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you get the gift of the Holy Spirit. You get a tremendous hope that one day you will be with the Lord Jesus in eternity. You'll see this man that we read about here, the person that died for you. You'll see him. You'll see your Savior. What a tremendous hope it is as a Christian. All these things, and there's so much more. We touched on it again in the reading, that there's, you know, God's prepared all these blessings for those that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wants you to come into them tonight. He wants you to experience all his blessings. There's no reason why anybody here needs to spend an eternity in hell. There's absolutely no reason. All you have to do is accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. Dear friend, it's simple. The gospel is written and it's explained so that it's simple and it's easy to understand. You know, above the Lord Jesus, it was written, it says here, in Greek, Roman and Hebrew. You know, three of the main languages in the world at that time. The gospel is for everyone. The gospel is for every single person. No matter what language you speak, no matter what background you have, it's for all. The Lord Jesus Christ died so that all could be saved. There is no reason why you should be excluded from that group. Dear friend, put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. If you don't, then you are gambling with your eternal salvation. You are heading down a very perilous route. But if you do, you'll come into a wondrous blessing. You'll come into everything that God wants to give you. Oh, dear friend, put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight before it's too late. Accept the invitation. You know, this man did here. He said to him, "Remember me, Lord, when thou comest in thy kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Verily I say to thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." What a promise. The Lord Jesus gives his personal guarantee. His personal guarantee. You know, and what could be better than that? It's not, we don't get to heaven of our own volition. We get to heaven and we get to being to God's presence because of the Lord Jesus and because we believe what he said. He's given us his guarantee. What more could we need? Dear friend, I pray that you will put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus tonight. You know, there might not be many more opportunities where somebody stands behind this desk and preaches the gospel. Dear friend, tonight may be your only opportunity that you have left to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that you will do so for his name's sake. Amen.